champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, the sky.
Yes.
Welcome to the final AfterBuzz TV after show for Hannibal.
I'm heartbroken.
I'm pretty heartbroken.
Like,
it's a bummer.
I'm sad.
I'm sadder than Susie Sue singing this song, Love Crying.
That's pretty sad.
That's pretty sad.
That's pretty damn sad.
Yeah, my song choice was definitely tonally different.
Yes. You wanted to do, from Annie, which one did you want to do?
I wanted to do the final song in Annie, Together at Last. Together forever. I thought it would be a fun twist on an epic ending.
Ending to an epic episode to an epic series.
Yes, that poses the question, do you think they knew that they were going to be canceled beforehand? Because it seemed kind of final.
Well, I'm looking right now at this interview that published, I think, Friday, or maybe, maybe today. I don't remember, but it's Variety did a full interview with Brian Fuller. And he talked about how that was their planning. I mean, it was in the can pretty much. The show was in the can long before it was canceled. I remember talking to them, Loretta and those guys earlier.
Rumors circulate, and sometimes you get, things, you know how it is, like where you kind of have a feeling beforehand, or maybe,
Well, the way they said that it was, they left it, that's why they have this final scene with Bedelia, to sort of leave it open to maybe Hannibal survived, maybe they both survived, maybe Will and Hannibal and Bedelia are having dinner, although there's only one chair. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is Hannibal's doing what's my man's, the character doctor, what's his name?
Shelton?
No.
No, who are you talking about? Eddie Izzard. Gideon.
Yeah, maybe she's doing Dr. Gideon with her, and who knows? I mean, but that, I think they're supposed to leave it open. But I will tell you this. I know that our girl, the lovely Martha De Laurentiis, is working very hard currently to finance a feature film. So that's kind of what they're thinking, I think.
I just got really excited by the idea of it.
Brian Fuller has been very careful, he said, to call this the NBC season finale.
Okay.
We've talked about, people let us know, and we know that, obviously, Hugh Dancy has another job on a Hulu series, and, Mads is in Rogue One, Star Wars, that's good, but maybe after all of that stuff, mm-hmm. I think that the window right now could be a film, but who knows? I mean, it's open. And Brian's on the other big thing he's doing, Gods and something. I forget already. But anyway, but they're all doing, they've all got work. So
hope springs eternal over here.
Yes.
At least a movie only takes, you can have a movie in the can in, 2 to 3 months easily. But I would just be curious as to what rights...
American Gods, sorry.
American Gods. I was thinking Gods and Monsters, and I knew that wasn't right.
That wasn't right either.
About what rights NBC has to the story that they already, that they've unleashed. Like, how would that limit them,
Well, as far as my television knowledge goes, NBC doesn't really have the rights to anything except for... And the way the deal goes, I mean, Martha and De Laurentiis company production... Mm-hmm. And Martha De Laurentiis has the rights to all the Thomas Harris stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where she's allowed them to do what they want with this story. Mm-hmm. This new version of that, I'm sure the shared rights are between sort of Martha and Brian. Mm-hmm. And then NBC is just the home. And Gourmand, who's the other partner there. Yes. I think NBC is just the distributor at this point.
Gotcha.
NBC is not the studio, because if they're the studio, they'd probably be in their best interest to keep it on, I imagine.
Yeah.
This is how the economics of television work. But I could be wrong. What do I know?
What do you know? What do you know, Brad?
You're just a guy in a white t-shirt.
That's right. I don't even know what I'm doing. It's like I didn't get dressed. Well, at least I'm here. So we're here. Welcome to Hannibal AfterBuzz After Show. I'm here. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm here with the lovely duo Casey.
Hi. Welcome, everybody.
And also Julia Carley.
Hi, everybody. One last time.
And I won't even say his name, the guy who will not be mentioned.
Oh, he's like a phantom now.
My dear friend of almost 20 years. Yeah. Who decided not to show up for the last four episodes. It is,
he does have a newborn baby now. It's not like he's just flaking out.
Whatever.
We've all called in.
He's on paternity leave.
I love him forever, but, you know.
What can you do?
Joe Sanfilippo we're talking about. But,
just in case you're calling you out.
Yes. Let's get into this episode. I mean, I want to talk about the episode, what we saw, some of the surprises, some of the canon changes, what they decided to do, what they did visually, and then also maybe a little bit talk about the legacy of what the series is and how we feel about what they've done in these three seasons, in these, 39 episodes? Yes.
Sure, that sounds good. Yeah. I'm not going to argue with that.
So we pick up kind of exactly where we left off in the penultimate, mm-hmm. which is Francis Dolarhyde telling Reba that he is the dragon in a very dramatic, sort of way. And I really like what they did. Because this happened in the book and the movie, the whole deal where he commits suicide and then fakes his death, but then he goes to kill Will's family. But this, I like the twist they put on it. But
I do too.
The visual execution, which is 50% of the battle here with Hannibal, the series as we know, was just stunning again as well. Or something about the way they executed that entire scene, having her walk through, how terrifying it still was. Again, I'm really just how scared you really get a sense of how absolutely horrifying would be to be blind and feeling your way through the world, or feeling the way through the world of a killer, mm-hmm. to be that afraid and then blind and then be on fire and then hear those noises and feel that stuff. Like, that's just all that really, really, really landed for me. How did you guys feel about those scenes, that opening scene?
Well, so it's really interesting that you said that, because I was actually thinking, I love the opening sequence. I love the whole episode was great. And the final sequence, because I thought that the fire scene was going to be the climax.
Yeah.
Really. But I love the final sequence was just brilliant. As far as the whole situation with Reba, I actually... they say a lot of post-traumatic stress has to do with, what you see visually and how mm-hmm. you can kind of relive the images in your head again and again. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Reba fortunately doesn't have, won't experience. So I was actually thinking when she was back in the hospital room with Will, and she was like, I felt his face, he's dead. But she won't have the images, though, in her head. So was she actually, of course, yes, it's terrifying, but... Do you think it is worse that she couldn't see what she was going on and more terrifying, or actually perhaps in a sense better that she couldn't see what was going on around her?
It's an interesting sort of point of view. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I think it's worse depending on how long you've been blind, because if that's the only thing you know and you only experience the world through your senses, then it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But if you had, if I could see, right now, and then I'm blind, I'd experience that whole thing blind, it'd be ridiculously terrifying for me. So that's mm-hmm. how I imagine it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you...
I imagine it... I agree with what you're saying. It depends on how long you've been blind, when you became blind, what you've taken in image-wise. But I think it would be worse to be blind, just for the sensory overload, and already have this terrifying situation and this traumatic situation, but then to be cut off from that one sense, which is a big thing in helping you escape, especially for something like fire, where, yes, you can hear it, yes, you can feel it, but that is, you got to see that to really know how to get around.
And also the idea of knowing, I know the steps, I know where everything is, but I don't know what I'm walking to is a pit of flames.
Yep.
I don't know
exactly
if I'm going to, that all that is just terrifying. Anyway, I thought that was fantastic. And then once I realized I was so engulfed in that scene, mm-hmm. and then it was over and the opening credit starts, I'm like, that's the open?
Yeah.
I'm like, season finale. That was it. Wow. So they're really off and running in a big way with that. So I quite enjoyed that. And also, again, pretty close to canon. So I like that. the, you know, and so I don't know. So then we have the next thing we see when we come back from that is the very cool first Hannibal Will exchange. We see, you know, first the Memory Palace thing there in the church, which mm-hmm. is, again, cool. I've said a thousand times, but I love that because it gets a chance to get Mads in those suits, you know, like, and mm-hmm. they find a clever way to get him in those suits, which I love. And then they have that exchange, and Will is very, like, you know, F you, Hannibal, you know, and Hannibal, you know, I wrote down, Hannibal's a little jelly. Like, Hannibal's a little jealous when he said, like, you know, you won't be the same with you. And Molly, are you going to go back? Will you think you can go back? It won't be the same. Was it good to see me? It just sort of felt like, you know, he was in the absence of, with the dragon being dead and with Will not having anything to do and the idea of Will going back to his family and leaving Hannibal there. It was just really interesting to see how Hannibal took that in.
I thought, I sort of took that as, a sense of panic from him mm-hmm. for those exact reasons because right. mm-hmm. he has no reason to tether Will to him, so he might as well try to get this little mind F in there, as he always does, yep. talking about his family, making sure that he is relevant in his mind at all times, just trying to dig a little deeper to get one last hook in. Mm-hmm. And it was like a desperate attempt any way that he could.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
And I agree.
And Will was very, you know, he stood his ground.
Very much so.
Will was very strong in that moment.
Do you think it was odd that
he dropped the mic on him?
He had his hand on the glass, though. Like, I love the entire kind of, like, homoerotic undertones in this. I mean, with their
pretty overt and blatant direct to me. But go ahead.
I think that especially for, you know, a network like NBC as well, it's like having having a relationship between two men kind of be, you know, kind of play with this, like, sexual tension is like they're in a relationship and do it so well without, yeah. you know, I thought it was excellent. I just thought it was really interesting that he had his hand on the glass mm-hmm. the whole time. Mm-hmm. What was that?
I thought that was a moment of power. You know, that's how I sort of took it, like a powerful moment for Will.
Right.
Standing up to Hannibal.
Right.
Finally being done, saying goodbye, his second goodbye, throwing in his little digs, his mic drop.
I mean, mm-hmm. he's done it in digs.
I mean, I think it was a powerful move for him.
Yeah.
And during that scene, actually, because I felt like that scene was kind of, I mean, that's like Will and Hannibal's song and dance that they have. But, you know, that scene began with, you know, ding dong, the dragon's dead. And did Hannibal know that the dragon wasn't really dead? Had they been in, you know, was this part of his master?
It didn't seem like it, no. Because when he came and said, ding dong, the dragon's dead, I mean, there was, I think, like you said, it was kind of I felt a little bit of desperation, like, mm-hmm. oh, well, now what do we do, in Hannibal's own way? And then when it revealed that the dragon was still alive, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, ding dong, the dragon's not dead. And he was like, sort of like a little pep in the step,
yeah.
like, oh, now we got stuff to do. But I do want to mention, you know, the zing. Like, Hannibal kind of started it with the zingers, right? Because Hannibal came mm-hmm. in and said, you know, you came all this way, you didn't get to kill anyone,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, and Will, which Will didn't like. And he also started praising him for what he did to Chilton. Like, nice job on Chilton, buddy. Way to go. Way to burn him up. You know, I saw what you did. And, you know, so that was really, you know,
close second.
And then there also that exchange about Will telling him, you turned yourself in so I'd always know where you are. And that's the part that he really kind of got him. It's like, mm-hmm. yes, I did. And it's like, well, I don't care.
Yep.
Bloop. So that was kind of really mean of Will to Hannibal. But then Hannibal's a killer. So
that's like, yeah. kind of okay.
and a gamble.
It's like a disgruntled ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who's got the last laugh?
It's interesting to see Will struggle with his own love for Hannibal. That's kind of another subtext here. We've seen this throughout the entire series. You mentioned that sort of the homoerotic thing, or actually the relationship and how it plays out. In seasons 1 and 1, it was kind of like, you know, hinted at, really sort of hinted at, and that's for us to decipher. We asked Bran about it, and mm-hmm. he's like, of course, a bromance. Then by season 2, it was like a little more, oh, they're in love. And then by season 3, you know, Bedelia Squirrel goes out and says it, and then now we kind of see them finally, like, you know, in love, both of them. But what's interesting is to see how Will is so obviously in love with Hannibal, but is so much struggling with the piece of him that, A, is, you know, wants to be with Hannibal, and B, wants to do the things Hannibal does, which is you know, kill and experience the beauty of whatever that may be, you know, through the eyes of Hannibal. And, like, he wants all of that stuff, but he's fighting himself the whole time, and that's what makes Will really super interesting, I think, in the series.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think that's the crux of this entire relationship and this, right, that we've seen evolve throughout this entire series, and that is what Hannibal painstakingly and methodically has been pulling out of him little by little, yeah, every single episode.
Yeah.
And that the struggle's real, man.
The struggle's real. Because and, I mean, we know that line at the end, which we'll get to, but he's, yeah, like, this is all I wanted, buddy.
Is it?
Don't you get it?
Yeah.
You know?
But, so. And it, I mean, it was great in the final sequence, and we will get, you know, more into detail, right, about that later, but they worked so well together. It, yeah, was like this dance. It was so natural.
It was beautiful.
And it was,
yeah,
just, you know, it's like, pal.
Yeah, it was definitely, they were definitely a team. We'll get to all that later. Yeah. I want to talk a little about that, because I've got some interesting different takes and different ways to look at that potentially. But what we did see next, which I also loved, is we got our final swan song from our boys, Scott Thompson and Aaron Abrams.
Oh, it was a perfect send-off,
yeah,
for them.
It was like snappily written, and they were funny, and they were like an exchange back and forth, and it's almost like they were always kind of funny, but they were really funny.
They were really funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they really had their last scene, and it was all laughs, and I loved it.
Yeah,
right?
I was very happy with it.
The explanation as to how the Red Dragon wasn't the Red Dragon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when Scott Thompson, you know, character, like, no, it's not like you, whatever, kind of imitating it.
I'm going to shoot you. No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm going to shoot you. No, I'm not.
that was great. And I also love the idea of Jack just sort of like sitting there like,
just taking it all in.
So. Uh-huh.
Yeah. No sense of humor, that guy.
Guys,
zero.
Not crack a goddamn smile,
no,
the entire
he's
series.
All business.
Dead MF serious, this guy. That was interesting to see that. And after that, we have that wonderful exchange with Will. Also, I want to talk about the Will and the sort of interview with Will and Reba, you know. Like getting the very beginning. I skipped over that, but that was a very cool exchange and sort of extracting that information, sort of, you know. And I wonder why Will is the one to sort of do that exit interview. I mean, it's weird that he's, I'm glad he, you know, that we had that scene, but it's like, what function is it of his to sort of get that information? It feels like that's like exclusively an FBI thing, you know. When he's sort
well,
of
he's been
guess.
Working the case the whole time.
Right.
And now this is the final moments of the case. This is the breath of fresh
right.
air. It's all over, we think.
Right.
We think it's all, you know, settled down, and it's his moment to... I took it as his moment to sort of counsel her a little bit.
Right.
Because
he
understands what she's been through. And to just put the final nail in the coffin. You know, got that done. Say goodbye to Hannibal, and then I'm on my way. Then I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, potentially she has years and years of being completely and totally destroyed by this event, and he can easily say, you know, he loved you, he couldn't watch you die, mm-hmm. you know, this is actually a good thing, take it from somebody like me, I work with, you know, people that are this insane all the time,
yep.
this is not a reflection on you, don't, I think that was something that she needed to hear, and I think it was a really sweet scene.
He's also a very empathetic person, you know, his character of Will Graham. And he did the same thing with Abigail. He was by her side the whole time.
Very true.
And he takes them under his wing and counsels them through it.
Yeah, that's his part of his whole thingy. technical term there, alert. So, Lindsay, what's also interesting to me, what I'm trying to also wrap my head around is, so, you know, Will had that, he talked to Reba, and then he, you know, told Jack, and was going to talk to Hannibal, and he felt like he's getting his closure. But then once we realized the dragon's alive, the way he sort of came to the conclusion that there's only one thing to do now, unleash Hannibal. Like it was a weird sort of like, I don't know, like it was almost a glee to it, like that he had. Not like a, it was like, this is the only way this is going to end, and I'm kind of happy about it. It wasn't like, oh God, I'm not doing it. Like, there was no reservation. There was no, like, this is crazy, but this is going to do. But he just said, like, only one thing to do now, Jack.
I agree with you 100%. There was such a switch in Will, in that scene between he and the Red Dragon when he was sort of being held hostage in his motel room.
I'll skip that too, yes. there's that.
First, he had that line where he says the blood and breath are only elements undergoing change to fuel your radiance. That's what Hannibal said to me.
Ah,
yes. Oh, you think you're the only one?
Yeah.
I'm in deeper than you are, man.
Yeah.
And this was a gleeful moment is a perfect way to put it when he says, how would I meet Lecter? He goes, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, he's back in the mix. He doesn't want to go home. He doesn't want to be around with all the dogs. Like, he's in it. This is where he's meant to be.
Well, that's interesting. So do you think that maybe after that scene with Hannibal and Will, where he has his hand on the glass, he actually had some reservations walking out that door, and he was like, you know what? It is over. I am a little sad. And then, boom, an opportunity comes. He goes, okay, guys, we got, you know, it's... Well, I mean, it is kind of a 180 switch for him.
This is also the beauty of the way they, you know, Fuller and Lightfoot and the gang have written Will, and what also what Hugh Dancy's done with Will as well, which is like... You can't tell where the profiler, you know, ends and where the guy who's in love with Hannibal begins and the guy who's kind of on the edge of his sanity, you know, they're all a big mix there. And it's like, it's more, it's not even a yin yang, it's just sort of like a big mush. So in that moment with Dolarhyde, is he, you can look at it one way, like, oh, he's very smart. He's telling Dolarhyde what he needs to hear to get him to let him go and to survive, survive this encounter, and B, like, you know, figure out a way to catch him. Like, that was a very smart move. On the other hand, that could have been exactly how he was feeling in the moment. Like, yeah, Hannibal said that to me. Like, you know, like, I'm in love with him too. He did that to me too, or whatever. I mean, so there's, I don't know what his true motivations are. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you have an inkling? Do you think it's both, or is it like...
I think it's always been both, and, you know, he describes feelings like that, how they're just needed together in his scene with Bedelia.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he is. He doesn't know where he ends and Hannibal begins, and where Profiler ends and the envy of Hannibal begins. I think he's lost in it, and he has been for three seasons.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, like I want to talk about that Bedelia scene as well, because I was pretty sure the last in the penultimate that, you know, there was really contentious between the two of them at first, and it felt like the last thing Bedelia kind of got the upper hand on Will, like, look, Will, you know, you're in love with him and this is what's going on. I felt like there was some concession on Will's part, like, oh, Bedelia, you're right. And this time, he was back to being like, he really let her have it. Like, he really sort of in that exchange, and I don't know. It sort of came off as you know, two obviously two girls fighting over. It felt like the two scorned lovers fighting over both of them fighting over Hannibal's. What this felt like, and Bedelia got really pissed.
Yeah,
you know,
and she was angry.
Yeah, I don't know. I how did you take that scene and what was going on there? Because I took it like. I didn't know how to take it, but I thought it was really interesting how Will went at her and how she went at Will, you know, and the net of that is sort of them both sort of fighting over Hannibal, it seemed like.
Well, I thought that she was scared. I thought that she was angry because out of fear, because she knows that as soon as Hannibal gets out, he's going to want to eat her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, what are you doing? You know that he's too smart for her. Like, Will, you are not this smart. You can't, you cannot make this plan and expect it to go your way once you unleash Hannibal.
Right.
You've unleashed him. And so I thought that it was anger kind of like sprouted from fear. That's what I got from it. And then, you know, Hannibal has that great line, extreme acts of cruelty require a high amount of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looks at him and then she's like, you've just found religion. Right. And it's just like, you know, every single time that Bedelia and Will have a scene together, it is enlaced with this rich, thick dialogue.
It's like another show, right?
It is.
It goes into this really sort of poetic, very dense dialogue. But I think I wrote down like, no one, the way they talk to each other, I think,
they're like poems.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, the way these two talk to each other is great. Will and Bedelia, they're speaking in prose and poetry. It feels like the whole time.
Yeah,
and to your point, I feel like. I agree. Like I'm talking about what the subtext was, because on the surface, you're right. Basically, Will saying like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna let Hannibal out. And we'll see what happens." And she's like, "He's gonna come get me." Will's like, "So, maybe he will. Maybe he won't. You shouldn't have been messing with him."
Yeah.
So, like, but it felt. I guess the subtext there felt like two people kind of going at it. That's what I was getting at. I don't know. Go ahead.
I loved that scene. I really did. And, you know, we were just talking about the switch in Will's sort of persona after when he realizes that he's back in the mix. And I feel like he had this, talk about pep in his step for the rest of this episode.
Yeah.
He was damn right giddy. Yeah. And I feel like he was so excited by this idea of this whole plan that he was unleashing in his head that only he knew. Nobody else around him knew what was really happening. Mm-hmm. Nobody else knew that he was... I don't believe that he had this exchange with Dollarhide.
No.
Right?
No.
So he had a long con going over here as well. And I think he was just really excited to see how it was going to play out. And she just was livid because of how irresponsible it was. I think he always knew that it wasn't that Hannibal would really break free.
Well, that's the question. That's the question too. Do you really view this as he was sort of playing the long game? Is he like, this Hannibal thing has a certain inevitability to it? Let me just unleash this thing and let's get to it already. Because as long as Hannibal's sitting there, it's not like he can be content with Hannibal sitting in a cell and him living his life the rest of the time. It's almost like this has to reach some sort of conclusion. Either I have to kill Hannibal, or Hannibal has to eat me, or we have to do it, or whatever. I don't know. But, like, something has to happen.
He can't spend the next 3 years just in the woods with Molly and the son, just pretending like it's not going to come back and get him again.
Right. And also, you've got a great point. I think that this is, you know, the entire run of the series, you know, Will's been so tortured. He's been extremely competent as a profiler, except for that, you know, that weird encephalitis bid, but like extremely competent as a profiler. And, wasn't until like, but he's always been sort of tortured and, you know, and not wanting, you know, really reluctant to sort of do this job that he does in the way he has to get inside these killers' heads. This last few episodes, he's been confident, extremely confident, like, and calculated. Like, I'm now in control of the chessboard. Like, we've seen the whole time Hannibal being in control of the chess pieces. Now, Will's like, no, I got this. This is how this is going to work. And,
absolutely.
And everyone around him's like, oh, okay, Will. You know, and it was kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree.
So, there's that. And then there's, so then the other, I don't know if this is next, but then there was that great scene with, I don't know what came first, the Chilton. And was it the Chilton and Alana scene?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That was hard to watch. Chilton's in bad shape. Poor Chilton.
Yeah, he's like in an incubator.
Yeah, that
makeup was freaking amazing.
Yeah!
So it.
Emmys.
Yeah.
Emmys all around. Like that. Yeah. And
it was really difficult to understand him, but from what I took from that scene was.
Subtitles.
Well.
Captioning.
Well. What I took from that scene was Alana was pretty much offering up Hannibal's skin.
Right.
Is this the correct... Was that what she was inferring to at the end of this scene? I must take by both of your furrowed brows that you guys did not.
Well, he insinuated that, you know, maybe... First he said, I'd like to watch him burn, and then he said, maybe I'd like him to donate skin to my skin grafting.
Right.
To which she said, you were never comfortable in your own skin. Would you be comfortable... I don't think you'd be comfortable in Hannibal's. And he goes, are you? Which I thought was brilliant because she has been wearing the skin of Hannibal. They all have. They all have been manipulating Dollarhide, each other, and he's the one who bore the brunt of it all.
Well, he says it. He says point blank, like, you know, Will, you know, I don't blame Hannibal. This is like, Will did this to me. And you.
And
like,
you.
And
this
you.
Is what Hannibal's capable of, what you're capable of, what Will Graham is capable of.
Right. So
like, you all did this to me.
Yeah, don't like say, oh, Hannibal's over here and we're over here. Like, you guys were all in the same boat together. Like, I've seen the whole thing, and, you know, now look at me, you know, and so, and then when he even says, like, who's, I forgot how he said, how, what the question he asks, like, what's next, or who's, oh, who's Will's next, who's,
oh, yeah, who is he serving up next, or
yes.
something like that.
And he's like, Hannibal, you know, and he's like, oh, okay, well, that's something at least, you know?
See, I think Chilton would love to wear Hannibal's skin. I think on some levels, Chilton has always wanted to be Hannibal and has always kind of like stood in his shadow.
Right. I wonder, I mean, you know, I wish I could see, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Chilton moving forward. Will we have like a Mason Verger version of him? That's Mason Verger version. Say that five times fast. Will we have like, I mean, will he just be like, because he's alive and they've kept him alive and we're going to see
die.
Him. He cannot die.
Poor guy. What else can we do to him?
And, but one of the most chilling things in this entire episode is that confrontation or that exchange between Hannibal and Alana.
Yes.
That was probably the scariest we've ever seen.
Yes.
Dr. Lecter.
He was no longer just, I don't know how to describe
it. The charm was gone.
Yeah, that was just like cold murderer.
I mean, he's always played Hannibal. Mads is always playing Hannibal with the sort of like a little bit of a smirk, a little bit of glint in his eye. Like, even though he's this cold-blooded guy, even when we see him do these horrible acts, even when he's eating someone, it's always sort of like, I just ate you. But like, you know, but, or when he stabs a guy in the neck, it's like, there you are. But this was, this was like very, very scary. It was beyond cold-blooded murder. It was like the devil. It was like,
yeah,
this
was,
which is
devil.
What Brian Fuller has been, you know, toying with, this idea of he's the devil in this cave, and him saying, like, you know, the deal is like, you know, you died in my kitchen when you chose to be brave. Your wife and kids belong to me. Like, you made a bargain for Will's life and I spun gold. Like, that's all like some serious devil shit.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. That to me, in that moment for me, and I will talk about this later, but Mads is elevated himself to my favorite Hannibal at this point. I mean, at first it was always kind of like
a huge statement.
It's a huge statement. It was always like, oh, Cox was good, and of course Hopkins, and then Mads isn't holding his own. But I felt like that was the last piece of this sort of puzzle that I haven't seen with him, which is a complete stone cold. I'm totally afraid of this guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like in a way that like is not the likable sort of winky jokey killer who wears these great suits, but as a guy who is really the devil. And I saw it, and I got scared. That's why I said that. But what did you think of that scene?
I don't think I got as scared. I did not get as scared as you in that scene. I mean, it was just a well written scene,
right.
and I thought it was great. I was anxious throughout all of these scenes. I was just anxious to see how the plan. Like, I was waiting, and I had such anticipation for the rest of the episode. Like, what was going to happen once he got out? And I think that's where my mind was throughout these scenes.
Right.
I enjoyed this build up, you know, and that was sort of like the last moment. I was like, he's going to get out. He's going to get out. What's going to happen? And I was truly chilled to the bone. In that scene.
Yeah.
It was terrifying to me.
And also all the things we talked about.
And he was right, is the thing. You know, you died in my kitchen that night. And, you know, every moment since then is borrowed.
You traded your life. But it's one thing to say you died in your kitchen, I'm going to get you, or you traded your life for Will's. But for him to say, your kid and your wife belong to me. That is.
Let him out. I want to see.
That is. Anyway. So, yeah, I think, from that moment, all the stuff we've talked about, our predictions about what's going to happen to Alana Bloom, what's going to happen to Bedelia, how are these people going to die, Chilton, Freddie Lowndes. Like, in that moment, I was like, I'm running out of time. Like, is he going to go and how is he going to eat Bedelia, kill Alana Bloom, go back and get Freddie? Like, him and Will are going to fall in love. Like, how is this all going to happen? I mean, like, 16 minutes. Like, what's happening, you know?
And then another commercial comes on. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait, we got to run out of time. But I was not disappointed at all, of course.
Oh, God, no.
Because I think that, you know, back to what we were saying, I think this is the finale. This is what was planned as a finale, a season finale, not a series finale. So definitely room for there to be. It was kind of both. It was a good trick in making it feel like it could be the end, or we can pick this up, depending on what happens to our season. I think that they probably go in knowing that they had like a fighting chance, but maybe 50-50 at best of coming back. So let's make this and stick the landing, and then have a way out if need be, right? So I was completely surprised when they had. You know, when they had the whole, when they laid the plan out and Will also volunteered to say, like, I'll go with Hannibal. Like, maybe I help him escape. You know, someone's got to be with him. When she's telling that thing to Jack about how this should go down. Like, getting Will volunteering, like, well, yeah, this is my plan and I'll go with him. I was like, really, Will? You know, he really wanted to go. So, let the press think I even aided him, like I helped.
Well, he had to. He had to say that that was the plan because he knew that there was a different plan. He knew that Dolarhyde was going to derail the escape. Because he had the conversation with him.
Right. That's why she was talking about the long con earlier.
Yeah, that's the long con here.
Wait a minute.
So he was... Yeah, it was... and it wasn't until she said that this was very... There are a lot of layers here.
This is why he's been so cocky and gleeful and giddy, because he knows that this whole other
plan
is about to take
place. Is this something that you
place.
Inferred, though, because based on the conversation, or is this something that was sort of directly... Because I took it at face value.
The whole point is that Dolarhyde wanted to meet Lecter.
Got it. I got that part. But I took it at face value in that Will came up with this idea in order to catch Dollar Hyde
to bring him out.
To bring him out. I thought that was all pretty legit, but I didn't know that Will has another agenda, like, well, Dollar Hyde is going to intercept us, and then we'll see what happens from there. Like, are you saying that that was... I mean, again, is this something you're inferring, or this is?
Well, it's an interesting point too, because after when they escape, and isn't that escape like that escape seemed oddly similar to the other escape in the other season as well? I'll come back to that later. Anyway, but when they escaped, it was Hannibal that grabbed the car and killed, and it was Hannibal that got in the driver's seat and pushed the dead cop out and said, Will, are you coming?
No, he said, going my way?
Yeah, are you going my way? So it really, it's interesting because it did seem like Hannibal was driving that ship, but it's funny because they're so, like, were they similar? Did Hannibal and Will have a conversation about this? Will like, okay, I'm just going to go with him and I'm going to make it seem like, you know, it's... Yeah, it's...
Well, at that point, I think all bets are off. But I mean, this is... I don't know. Like, I had no idea that Will would think that Dollar Hyde would do... I thought that was a complete surprise for me. When Dollar Hyde came and shot all the cops up and did that whole move, like, that was a shock to me. Because I thought, oh...
I thought that somehow Hannibal and Dollar Hyde had planned that out.
I had thought that Will and Dollar Hyde had planned that out. How else would he know? How would Dollar Hyde know?
Yeah, well, Dollar Hyde. I've already established Dollar Hyde is freaking Jason Bourne. And this guy's got more skills.
Yes, he is.
Like,
and Will certainly did not seem surprised.
I think
Will orchestrated this knowing Hannibal so well and how this had to come to an end.
Right.
But Hannibal didn't seem surprised either.
No.
Well, Hannibal also has his kind of role with his sense of inevitability. Like, he even said to Lana, like, I mean, you guys are pretty smart, but I'm with the cops. The cops don't know. I might escape. Like, I got a chance. I'm with a bunch of bumbling cops.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know me. Like,
and, when Will was talking to Hannibal in the whole please scene, he said, I don't even know what the line is, but he said something of like, you don't even believe in this plan. That's what he alluded to. Or no. It's weak. It's...
It's water on the laptop. No!
It's
all right. I'll live.
I wonder what everybody else thinks about what was this.
I got excited. I was going to reply to Hardwick here, and I was going to tell him. He said Will totally told him. I was going to say, do you think he told him? And then I put water in my laptop. And then he says Hannibal is really surprised. Yes.
But yeah, he says, you know, the plan you're telling me is weak.
Well, I will tell you, Julia, that I will agree with you because your prediction was kind of right. They kind of did run away. You remember how you're like, Will and Hannibal are probably going to run away together. They kind of did.
They kind of did.
Yeah. They kind of, you know, had, thank you, Marissa.
Thanks, Marissa.
Technical deal.
He says, you know, the plan you're telling me.
Oh,
don't worry. Keep talking.
They did kind of run away together, and you know that final scene when he was like opening the bottle of wine. What was that line that he said? And he was just like a man that would lay his life down for his friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally 100% sidetracked by this.
Don't talk amongst yourselves, ladies. You're doing great. Just over here, phone and laptop. We're a live podcast. Go ahead.
What did you think about the final sequence?
Ooh, are we there? Is this happening?
Yeah, we're there. We're there.
All right. Mic drop. So I was very satisfied. I felt this ending to be extremely gratifying on all levels. And I loved to have that moment with just Will and Hannibal together again, drinking wine in a beautiful setting. And I feel like I've missed that so much in this season because that was the first two seasons. That was the entire first two seasons. So it sort of felt normal. Like there was a sense of normalcy before the shit really hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Welcome back.
What happened?
How'd you do?
I think it's fine.
Okay, good.
Not dead yet. Phone seems fine. Everything's fine.
Okay.
Laptop down. That's what GBNF says. Go ahead.
So when Hannibal said, it was Will that said, you know that Dollar Hyde is watching. And Hannibal said, I know, right before the gunshot fired. Would that statement right there would actually lead me to believe that you were right, Julia, and that Will did make this plan with Hannibal, and as they're sitting there with the wine together, he all of a sudden perhaps feels guilty, or he wants to let him know, and he's like, you know that he's watching. And Hannibal the whole time is like, I know what's going on. I know what you had planned this whole time. Mm-hmm. So the more I think about it, the more I think that you actually are right and that it all was Will. But every single time something elaborate unfolds, I always think that even if Hannibal didn't have a direct hand in it, that he's always the puppet master.
Well, I want to go back a little bit. You know, now that I want to go back to just that initial exchange in the car. I
mean, before you do that, real fast, let me just say something to that.
Yeah.
So Hannibal, yes, has always been the puppet master, but Will said this is his becoming, and this was him being the puppet master for the first time and sort of taking the reins and becoming this Hannibal-esque character, and just owning it finally. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe.
Chess master.
The chess master. Mm-hmm. Says, yeah, they're who was the final chess master
and
in this?
We'll Hannibal could not have been more proud.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back to when they're in the back of the paddy wagon, that whole exchange they had there when Mads or Hannibal had the best line of the series when he says, I believe that's what's called a mic drop. You dropped the mic, Will. But you had to pick it back up again. That was like laugh out loud.
Yeah, it was like kind of awesome.
All the press picked every think piece that about Hannibal finale was what, like, the mic drop, the mic drop. So, you know, even we were mentioning here, that was a great line. That exchange was cool. And then the escape, the daring escape. I do love the way Hannibal sort of just went over and like, where are you going? He's like, well, he's not gonna get us here. He wants us more intimate. Like, to see Hannibal get out of that moment, Hannibal gets out of the paddy wagon, takes off the mask, and it's sort of like, freedom. And sort of very calmly walks over to the car, pushes the guy out, mm-hmm. and like, Will's like, well, what are you doing, Hannibal?
I was so excited. I was like, clapping.
This is so Midnight Run. This is like a Midnight Run with De Niro and Grodin. Yeah. Like, let's get out of here. But he pushes the guy out, and the whole going my way.
Yeah.
And so they get to the house, and again, it was absolutely chilling for me to have that bit where Hannibal talks about, you know, the eroding bluff. It was like, you know, it was eroded. There's so many packed full of metaphors. I'm not quite sure I understood any of them, but I felt like, oh. But like, he's like, it was eroded a little bit when I brought Abigail here, and even more when I brought Miriam last year, and now you and I are here. At one point, the whole bluff will consume this whole thing. Like, that's some kind of super fly metaphor that may went over my head, but I was like, yeah, get it, Brian.
Yeah.
Like, what did you make of that? But before I want to hear that about that metaphor, I was absolutely chilled by the thought of like him very calmly talking about, like, it's a Miriam Lass was up here, she was crazy, and then you know, Abigail, like, killed it, yeah, she was nuts, like that, like the just the way, matter of fact, the way he talked about those, especially Miriam, mm-hmm. who he did really bad things to, is scary to me.
No, I completely agree, but it also felt like we were in good company,
right?
If that makes any sense,
right?
And I'd also, it just created this sense of looming doom. That mm-hmm. we know something's going to go down, and it's going to be big, and I don't know what it is, which is really exciting, but mm-hmm. it feels like it will become full circle.
Right.
What did Hannibal say to Will right before they opened the wine? He's like, I don't know if it was my affection for you will get the better of me. My
no. passion for you is inconvenient.
That is. Yeah. That to me is the second best line of the whole series.
Yes.
My compassion for you is inconvenient.
Yes.
Because he's like, that was amazing. Like, that was fantastic. I love that line so much. And when Will followed up with, well, you know, like if you
have a taste meat, for beef,
your passion for a cow is convenient. Yeah. Is inconvenient.
That
was fantastic. Hardwick says it's a metaphor for the relationship, which is exactly right. I like the term in terms of the eroding bluff and bluff consuming them all. And then, of course, it was a actual literal. You know, the literal ending of the relationship was the bluff did consume them. But we'll get to that in a second. So in that moment when they said, you know, Dollarhide's watching, I know, and then Dollarhide mm-hmm. does his thing mm-hmm. and comes in.
It was just a gunshot. Which,
yeah. Pew. You know, and again, Jason Bourne, this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a super assassin.
He mm-hmm. is.
Like, I don't, mm-hmm. like, he's...
I don't know what's
his military background?
It's slightly sexy, is it not? Like, I toyed with whether or not to bring that up, but
it's all right.
Dollarhide seemed, or the dragon seemed a little sexy this episode.
Julia spent two seasons talking about how she wants to have sex with Mads.
It's
Hannibal.
So, you know, it's like, it is
it's
that,
true.
There's something about that, yeah, having that, yeah, it was... It was, you know, but this was a gory final sequence.
Oh,
oh,
it was
God!
Bloody,
was it ever
gory.
Love it.
And I loved the way that they would, every single time, it's like, in case you had any, like, they still had that kind of, you know, Dollar Hyde and Red Dragon, like, that split. Because when, you know, that Red Dragon, when the wings came out, and then as he was dying, it actually saw Dollar Hyde almost looking at his own death.
Right.
Did you guys catch that with all of the, with the burning, and then it cut back to the dragon with the blood kind of going
that,
like dragon
all that
wings.
Was great. But I want to dissect that a little more, but I do want to just touch on that one bit. Because there's one shot in just before the final battle that I just absolutely also loved. Is right after, you know, Dollar comes, he shoots Hannibal, and he comes in, he tells Will, you know, don't run, I can catch you. Yeah. Same thing he told Reba, because they're a similar
exactly
thing. And by the way, you believe this guy because he's crazy. Someone dead said he did have a military. He's a Marine in Red Dragon. Okay, great.
Oh, cool.
Sorry, it's in the book. Dollar Hyde is totally sexy, says Castillo. reference to military background on Twitter. Okay, so thanks very much, folks.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Well, Sylvia, I'm glad you're still there. Thanks. You guys are great. All right, so, but there's that moment where Will is, you know, a little first, like, scared, and then he turns his attention to Hannibal, and it's like, I'm going to film you. And then Will, there's a shot of Willie taking a sip of his wine.
Taking a sip of wine!
It's like, so great.
It
it's like the
so
popcorn.
Good.
Like.
Well, he did say, I'm going to watch you change, or watch you be changed.
Right, you're going to watch him kill me, because I'm watching you changed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how we referred to all that stuff. So, yeah, so then let's to the fight itself. I think that fight sequence was, you know, amazing. Now, we know in season two, Brian talked a lot about what a bloodbath was going to be at the end of the season two finale, and it was a complete bloodbath.
Yes,
as we know at the end of the season two finale. The season three finale was also a super bloodbath, but in a different way, and it was just very well constructed, very well set up fight scene in every single way, because you had these three guys. In one hand, Will's mission technically is to kill Dollar Hyde and kill Hannibal, and you're wondering, what's he going to do? Is he going to kill Dollar Hyde? Dollar Hyde is there, you know what Dollar Hyde is there to do. What's Hannibal going to do? Is Hannibal going to turn his attention and then kill Will and be free? Like, what? So, and the fact that even though they're at the moment, they're turned on Dollar Hyde and sort of like, you know, the fact that Hannibal came to Will's rescue and vice versa, was extremely thrilling and also a bit romantic. The whole thing was so romantic. And the shot of the three of them together, and then this like you said, the team up, the way that Will and Hannibal are teaming up to kill him together was just like, I mean, it was very, like, I don't know, it was weird. It was like a threesome or something. I don't know what happened.
It was kind of sexy.
Yeah, the whole thing was
thing was really kind of hot.
It was just, you know, minus all the blood and the people dying, it was kind of hot.
Even one slightly comical scene, and it was after they had, you know, moved to outside. And, you know, Will is kind of spouting blood from the neck, and, you know, Maz is shot, and they do this, like, wide shot where you see all three of them kind of stumbling around for a minute trying to get their bearings, and it was almost comical. It was almost like this is your, like, 60 seconds to kind of take a breather before we go at it again, but it was funny.
And it looks exhausting, fighting like that.
Sure. And then what they did with the dragon, like in the Dollar Hyde, with becoming sort of that dragon imagery was also super dope. It was like, that's what you want to see from Hannibal. And at one point I thought they were going to have, you know, the stag or the stag fight the dragon. I thought it was going to turn into like a Godzilla versus Mothra situation or something. But
I feel like it felt a little bit like a standoff at first with Will and Hannibal to see who's going to do what. And then there was that moment right before they started the big fight where they looked at each other.
Yeah.
And you could see it in Hannibal's face, a little like, we're going to do this together.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, okay.
There you go. Let me get my hand
all
game.
All right.
I know it's going to turn this kind of party.
So, drop your keys at the door.
That's what I hear happens.
And right in the scene, I loved it. I love that Hannibal like almost jumped on him like a spider monkey got right on the Red Dragon's back, and then Will just lunged at him. It was great.
It was so gratifying to see them work together like that.
Yeah.
And I think for Hannibal, it must have been the most gratifying thing ever too, to see his protege, his love, come to life the way he always wanted him to. And vice versa gratifying for Will to finally release and relinquish this and just, it's his becoming, and just be what he wanted to be and just murder the shit out of this guy.
Dieter says, very sort of like a like an erotic ballet, which is very good. Which is also very good. And someone else said The Good, the Bad, and the Dragon, which I like. Hades Fist, I like that. That's funny. Anyway, I thought that was all very well done. And Brian Fuller talked about it actually being a standoff. He's like, that kind of what they that scene's like the standoff. He also talked about how he did this great interview in Variety. If you guys haven't checked it out, sort of breaking down the finale and breaking down sort of maybe what could happen afterwards, which is cool. But talked about how that scene, they spent so much time on other fight sequences, very famous fight sequences in the series, most notably the Jack and Hannibal one, and there's been so many like great sequences that this one, oddly, they said wasn't that expensive or that, you know, hard to plan out, and it was just really, yeah, I thought it came off wonderfully. Mm-hmm. Everything about it was great, and then Dahlhart's death was sort of great. Like the idea of slaying the dragon, literally, like the two of them mm-hmm. getting together and slaying the dragon, I thought was also very cool.
Did you notice that his final cut that Will made to Dahlhart was across the belly, just like Hannibal did to him at the end of season 2?
Oh,
that's a great observation.
That's a great observation. I didn't notice that.
Just throwing that out there, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I love their final embrace.
Well, let's get to that. So after that, so they get, it's all said and done, and you're wondering in that moment, is Hannibal going to give Will another, like, meh? Is Will going to give Hannibal another, what's going to happen? And, I mean, the reaction of Hannibal, like, this is, you did this, what all I wanted you to see, and it's like, it was, you know, what do you say? It was beautiful. I forget the line.
Yeah, he says, see. Remember how we would always say see?
Right.
And then he said, this is all I ever wanted for you, for both of us. Right. And Will said, it's beautiful.
And gave him the hug. And that
and
was like
a little
like,
nuzzle.
A little nuzzle. I mean, that's, you know, that kind of qualifies as my prediction of them getting together, maybe. But how did, I mean,
that was a pretty intimate hug.
It's a very intimate hug. And
then,
of
course,
there was
a moment I thought they might kiss.
I thought too. For sure they were going to kiss.
I thought they were going to make out.
I'm like, they're so going to make out. Yeah. But then I thought that might have been a bit much. Like,
I saw it happening. I mean, they were close.
They were really close.
Do it.
But instead, he's like, he threw them both off the cliff, which is either, like, I mean, I don't know, either the most romantic thing in the world for Will, like, I know I can't go back to anything else, so this is it. Or if I gotta go with Hannibal, like, my lover. Or is it like, I'm saving the world from this madman? I admit this was beautiful, but you're still evil. You're gotta go. I'm taking you with me.
This is on my terms. I'm gonna end this on
my
terms.
Yeah, I mean, how did you interpret that? So many different ways to interpret that last sequence.
I think that it was him finishing it. I think that if he didn't do that, Hannibal would have just ended up killing him and, you know, and eating him. I think that that's what, you know, that final embrace, and when it looked like he was grabbing him harder and really he was just, you know, holding onto him to take him over the cliff with him. I think that was really, at the moment, his only option.
Right.
I think that that there was no going back. That was the point of no return. We've crossed that threshold. Mm-hmm. We're in this relationship now. We have become one. And it's what Bedelia said. You can't live with him. You can't live without him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they both got to go together.
So the question, do they survive? And does Hannibal survive? And does Will and, do Will and Hannibal survive? They're both pretty. They're both in bad shape. I mean, clearly someone survived.
Well, there was not a body to be spotted, and I was all over my TV looking for a body. Because if there is no body with Brian Fuller, that means nothing. Then you cannot count on anything.
That's exactly right. This is like the well, I won't, that's a spoiler for Game of Thrones. I won't do that. Never mind.
I would like to think that they are dead. You know, I'd like to think that was just, you know, yeah, I would like to think that. Although, you know, that's what I would like to think.
Yeah, who's cooking up Bedelia?
Exactly. Yeah. So Bedelia
cooked. I think
Bedelia can cook like that. That was on some Jose Andres.
I think that she took a little bit of that heroin that she had left over from Italy.
There we go. Secret stash.
And she was like, crap, Hannibal's getting out. What am I going to do? Well, he's going to totally kill me and eat me if I don't offer up a part of myself. I'll do this because I care. You know, there's a part
so
of
what,
it.
So what, the spirit of
you
Hannibal?
Think she did it to
I think
to
that
herself?
She was waiting for him. Huh. Well, I think just waiting for him. I know that he's going to come for me. I'm
it
waiting.
It could be interpreted as I'm waiting for him and I'm completely, you know, this is my offering to him. It could be interpreted that Hannibal made that. You know, and she's waiting for him to come.
What if it's Will?
Or it could be Will.
What if Will has completely taken over the Hannibal sort of persona. Maybe he's doing it.
Well, because the thing is, too, you actually don't know when they cut to Bedelia, and this is the one thing, because I thought that in the time frame that we're talking about the same time, but that cut, I mean, that we could be talking, like, 2 years in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so that's, in that case, then yes, of course, it could be Hannibal, but I would think that Bedelia probably would have learned a thing or two about how to cook while living with Hannibal in Italy.
Yes, kitchen nightmares is funny. I have no idea. The table was set for three. Oh, I didn't see that, Hardwick. I thought it was set for two.
I thought it was set for two, too.
All right, well, then there it is.
Hannibal and Will,
you know, for the movie version. Who knows?
Cut to the bottom, and they're just on the little ledge.
Face, she was also, I don't know, like, she looked oddly.
She looked like she was on heroin.
She looked a little bit.
She looked like this. She had the same look on her face when the cops came to question her.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so really quickly, because we unfortunately have to wrap up.
I don't want to wrap up either.
But, like, I mean, you know, I had a wonderful time with this, and all three seasons, I think it was completely satisfying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brian has been on the show a couple times, is great, and Martha has been on the show a bunch of times. And I totally, by the way, dropped the ball on having Martha on the show today. There's a small possibility that I may give Martha a buzz to do sort of a Hannibal postmortem that we can do and get Martha here.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to give her a call. So maybe, Fannibals, we have one more thing to do. But yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know. It was a great run, a great addition to the Thomas Harris legacy and the De Laurentiis legacy. Mm-hmm. Brian Fuller has done a wonderful job with all these characters, and I don't know. It's one of my favorite series of all time. I think
artistically shot, I think it well exceeds what the other things that are out there.
What they've done with storytelling, with a story we already know for primetime television and television in general, that was just landmark. So I don't know. Any final thoughts on the Hannibal series?
I'm so sad it's over. But I think this was a perfect end to my probably favorite show on television right now and has been for these last three seasons. I think it's the most stunning show I've ever seen on television. Mm-hmm. And the writing was beautiful. The acting was stunning. Everything. It was a perfect show to me. It was right up my alley, and I will miss it terribly.
Yeah. I mean, coming in late in the game, I will tell the one thing that stuck out to me, huge, is that you don't get writing like this on television. Yeah. You just don't anymore. Like, people tune in to the, you know, a lot of times the mundane things that they can kind of just tune out of. Right. But this, you have to pay attention, and you have to, you know, you watch an episode and then you watch it again and you get something completely different. And, you know, that's something that's going to be truly missed.
And not only the writing, but also the visual style that was infused from the very beginning, the style that David Slade and Brent Fuller and those guys have set, the tone stylistically that was set in season one and carried throughout the series was something that was completely unique to television, and like felt very, very cinematic and surreal and wonderful, and kind of that blend of the sort of the tone and the music and the violence, and it was really like the humor is very, very, you know, Brian Fuller infused, but also very David Slade, kind of a perfect marriage, and also the, you know, getting Guillermo Navarro and some others you know, who came in, really did a great job in infusing some other things. There are a lot of like Guillermo del Toro clips of mixes in there that Guillermo Navarro brought to the mix. So, well done, you know, Martha and Brian and Stephen Lightfoot and Loretta and the gang. Congratulations on a wonderful series.
Yes.
Looking forward to the DVD and all the DVD extras all the goodies that we may find from that. We'll also be crossing our fingers for the movie, let's hope.
Come on.
I'm going to do my best to get Martha in here for one last episode. But in the meantime, if this is it, thank you so much for listening. Watching for
Nothing
last three
like
seasons.
Fanables.
You guys have been fantastic to us the whole time. We love you all, including you guys in the chat room. And Dua, thanks for joining us this season.
Yes.
You've been great.
Yes.
And where can we find you?
Yes, you can find me at Dua Casey, DuaKaissi, on the Twitters at Dua Casey.
Julia.
Twitter and Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JuliaCarely. Gonna miss you, Fannibals.
Yeah, you can find me, Joe Braswell, at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. And we're going to figure out something else to do together. So we'll have some announcements soon. But thanks, guys. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.